The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Hi, everyone. Rachel Lindsay from the Buffalo News. I cover the Sabres for the Buffalo News. We're here for the Ice Time podcast. It's been quite a week and a half for the Sabres after the NHL draft, the start of free agency. Development camp. Mike Harrington, our NHL columnist, and I are here to discuss four things from the past 10 days that were for the Sabres. So, Mike, yeah, we're going to jump right into it here. The Bowen Byram situation continues to be fluid. News came out Sunday afternoon, right after the 5 o'clock deadline, that the Sabres have filed for arbitration with Bowen Byram, not the other way around. So, my first question for you is, what do you make of how this Byram situation continues to unfold and continues to be fluid?
Well, we don't have the 4th of July fireworks yet with Byram. It's just little dribs and drabs here. Ultimately, the biggest piece of news right now is the threat of an offer sheet is gone. By the Sabres electing club-elected arbitration, taking Bowen Byram to that step, they now do not have to worry about the offer sheet. The offer sheet has been a threat that's been out there. It's very rarely used in the NHL, but I think there was a legitimate possibility somebody could throw a one-year, $10 million offer sheet at Bowen Byram, which the Sabres would then have to match. Certainly, Kevin Adams was very public last week when he said he was going to match any offer sheet. So now we're in a situation where we're back to waiting again. Are the Sabres going to work a trade out? I still don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. They re-sign Bowen Byram for one season, and he plays here next year. This is not contentious like the J.J. Paterka situation was. Bowen Byram simply wants a better role. He's not going to be here for the long term, but the Sabres, again, are not taking picks. They're not taking prospects. If you want Bowen Byram, you can get him. You better be ready to part with NHL players. And, you know, even I wrote in my column last week, my antenna went way up when Kevin Adams was talking about possible returns and said a forward and a D. And I'm thinking to myself, that's their goal here. They need someone to help replace J.J. Paterka and someone to help replace Bowen Byram.
Right. You know, I was thinking about this last night after filing the story. You know, my first questions are, is this a move to protect Bowen Byram? Is this a move to negotiate a new contract or trade him for parts that can go onto the roster immediately? Giving him an offer sheet was not going to be the answer, because if so, you know, if they got the offer sheet, it meant either eating cap space to keep Bowen Byram should the suitor come after him. You know, and I think as of Sunday night, there was like $13.6 million in cap space for the Sabres. You know, Kevin Adams said, go ahead, make me an offer, or they let him go for futures. The Sabres are in no position to get draft picks for the value that Bowen Byram could hold, even short term as well, too. You know, so, you know, people need to understand as an RFA, you know, he can continue to negotiate the new contract. He can dictate the length of the terms. 1 year, become an RFA after the season. 2 years, become a UFA. Or here's the other question. Could this set up the dominoes to fall for, like you said, a potential trade for players who can come into the roster right away and help the Sabres?
Well, I mean, I'm still, you know, reliving the summer of Jack Eichel, where we spent all summer waiting and he got traded in November. So you would think they would trade Bowen Byram sooner rather than later. But again, they could just, you know, he's got his qualifying offer. They could renegotiate for this year and, you know, kick it down to the deadline in March. A lot could happen here. Ultimately, I think they would like this taken care of. You don't want the distraction of Bowen Byram being at training camp, getting all the questions. And there's no question there's interest from multiple teams in Bowen Byram. Who wouldn't want Bowen Byram if you don't have a guy already in your stable like Rasmus Dahlin? So I'm still expecting a trade here. But, you know, it could happen an hour from now, a day from now, a week from now. It could happen August 22nd. You know, there's no deadlines anymore. Once we got past the draft, there's really no deadlines to this thing. And the Sabres now have used some protection. The arbitration is protection for the Sabres against the offer sheet.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
All right, so we've just gotten through free agency. The free agent frenzy opened 6 days ago. Let's start with the Sabres. Did the Sabres fill their needs through free agency?
Well, the first thing you look at, to me, they needed a right shot defenseman, and that didn't come in free agency. That came in the J.J. Paterka trade, getting Kessling from Utah. So that probably was their biggest summer need, and they filled it. What did they do in free agency? The other big need they had was they were certainly looking for another veteran goaltender, a guy to replace James Reimer, and they got that. Alex Lyon is certainly, he got a 2-year deal. It's certainly a good choice. We saw what he did with the Florida Panthers 2 years ago. Might have been the reason the Panthers snuck in the playoffs over the Buffalo Sabres. Won that key game in Florida against the Sabres, made 39 saves. So I think Alex Lyon's a really nice pickup there. If Lukanen struggles off the top of the season, you have no problem running Alex Lyon out there for multiple games. He's proven he can win in the NHL, and he had a couple decent years in Detroit, 21 wins 2 years ago. So another nice pickup. I mean, free agency is not where the Buffalo Sabres shop for players. They're not going to sign big money guys. Ultimately, they're two big acquisitions with Kesslering, Josh Stone, Connor Timmins. They were all in trades, and that's how Kevin Adams is going to fill this club. But they did have some other picks. There's a lot of nice free agents in Rochester, and they did sign Zach Jones from the New York Rangers, who had been scratched quite a bit last year, just couldn't crack the lineup. Justin Danforth from Columbus, that's a nice fourth-line pickup. He's a better player than Sam Lafferty was. Again, a decent pickup, but not the kind of things that are going to create massive headlines here. And that's just how the Sabres play in free agency. And, you know, Rachel, when you're out of the playoffs 14 years in a row, you're not getting involved with Nikolai Ehlers or anybody like that in free agency anymore, no matter how much money you have. Until you start winning, you're just not a destination.
Yeah, the odds aren't in your favor. You know, we shouldn't have set the expectations too high for the Sabres to make a splash in free agency. It was more about, you know, what are these small plug and play needs as opposed to let's go after, again, Mitch Marner's, Nikolai Ehlers, Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane is going to be set in Detroit. Another thing about this free agent market, it wasn't great. Mitch Marner was the big name going in, and we saw, the trade and sign and trade with Vegas, which has come with a little controversy of its own. I'm looking at this. I mean, 2026 is going to be the big deal. You know, even Steve Yzerman said, I think it was to ESPN last month, he's like, I'm not optimistic about this for, particularly to the Red Wings needs, but it was kind of something that could have been almost universal to free agency this year. I remember even looking at some of the names other than Mitch Marner. It was like, who's great out there? That was the big question. And it wasn't just, again, the Red Wings and the Sabres. It was, you had to pick and choose Ehlers and Marner. Those are the two big names that were out there. Oh, and Brock Besser in Vancouver.
And what we saw this year, I think, is something that certainly is going to come into play again next year with the big free agent class. We saw teams re-signing their guys. Guys weren't getting the free agency. And you look at who's in the class next year. Do we expect any of Connor McDavid, Kirill Kaprizov, or Jack Eichel, among others, to actually
Alex
get
Tuck?
We expect them to get to UFA. No, we don't. You're gonna see the star players get signed, and they're never going to get to UFA. And even Besser was expected to be a UFA player, and out of left field, Vancouver came back and circled around and got him signed. So it left, Ehlers going to Carolina is the big free agent prize of the summer, and it's kind of whatever.
Yeah. And the other thing, and you brought up a good point here about the Sabres re-signings, they built their defensive depth both for the roster and in the system with Ryan Johnson, Jack Rathbone, and Mason Gearston was another guy. He's more of a pugilist, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word for him. I haven't been able to watch him, but
that's the right word for him. He's a pugilist.
Okay, I haven't been able to watch him. So pugilist is a good word. I was looking at his penalty minutes. He's got some history with Lindy Ruff as well. He's kind of an interesting guy too. If I was reading correctly, I think he's a cancer survivor as well. I'm not sure if it was got the right person. I could be wrong here. I'm going to have to hit the Google machine. But I like the, and Zach Jones, I like the Sabres built their depth, built their defensive toughness as well. The other name that jumped out to me, Ryan McLeod, the Sabres locked him up. Was it 4 years, $5 million a year? And the first thing I thought was, well, he had his first 20 goal season. the Sabres and Kevin Adams here are betting on promise and potential. And will he take on more of an offensive responsibility with JJ Paterka being shipped to Utah? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I think right now, absent a trade for a top forward, they have to spread their offense out. Ryan McLeod has to give him a few more goals. Jack Quinn has to give him a lot more goals. Yuri Kalik has to give him some goals. They're going to spread some things out here to try to make up. You know, it's the old, you know, Rachel, it's the old line from Moneyball. You know, we're going to recreate him in the aggregate. That's what, you know, Billy Beane famously said about Jason Giambi. It's what the Sabres maybe end up doing with J.J. Paterka. Recreate him in the aggregate here with multiple guys. You know, McLeod is really a guy whose value was high in my mind when they got him, coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance in Edmonton. It did nothing to dissuade that the way he played last year. I certainly expected him to be a good skater, you know, a good two-way guy and be responsible defensively. I did not necessarily expect a 20-goal score, but he certainly showed the offensive prowess they needed. You know, I look around the league and free agency was just it's a creation of Canadian television, you know, and maybe that's that's part of covering the Buffalo Sabres. And ultimately, you know, what was the biggest story had nothing to do with free agency realistically. Well, the biggest story was the trade of Mitch Marner from Toronto to Vegas. So, you know, when you look at go through all the Atlantic Division, that's the story that jumps out at you because of the fact the Leafs are the defending division champions. Let's not forget the Florida Panthers finished third in the Atlantic Division this season. And now we see what happens to Marner in Vegas on Jack Eichel's line. Well, we see what happens to the Leafs. You know, talk about recreating in the aggregate. I don't think you can recreate 100 points in the aggregate, but, you know.
It's tough. No. I'm looking at it. The Maple Leafs, there's just this one big gaping hole. They didn't go in and fill it. You know, they're going to count on there's no more core four. Who's going to be the fourth in that core four? Core three just doesn't have the same ring.
Well, the other thing, though, is he has 12 career goals in 70 playoff games. That's the issue. So maybe you don't have to recreate a lot because he wasn't doing anything in the postseason.
He was showing up in the postseason.
Right, which is why the Leafs have won one series in the 9 years they've had these guys.
That's mind-blowing.
It's hard to believe. You know, and they were the team that nearly knocked off the Florida Panthers this year. They got them to Game 7 at home. They just had a disastrous Game 7. But the people forget they won the first two games, had a two-goal lead in Game 3, and lost Game 3 in overtime. The series could have been over right there.
And I just think back that when the Maple Leafs took that 2-0 lead, the Panthers just looked and said, all right, we got him right where we want him. Now let's turn it on. That is immediately what I thought when the Maple Leafs were up 2-0. I was also thinking.
I didn't think the Panthers, even though they're the Panthers, I was like, can they really win 4 out of 5 games here? And they did. That's what the Panthers do. And, you know, I think that, you know, that last game I was in Toronto for Game 7 and, you know, the players waited after the game to salute the fans and the fans booed the Leafs right off the ice. It's just, it was time for a move. It was time to go try something else.
Yeah. And since we're going to continue, you know, discussing the Maple Leafs, yeah, you know, I got back to that 2-0 lead. I mean, what did Badger Bob Johnson say years and years ago when, you know, when those Pittsburgh Penguins runs in the early 1990s, you know, you can lose 3 and still win this thing. That was kind of what the Panthers did as well, too. Yeah. So with that being said, let's pivot to let's look league wide at free agency again, which the pickings weren't overwhelming. You know, in your opinion, you know, who are some of the good free agent signs or some of the good moves by teams around the NHL?
Well, Ehlers is the top one. Mm-hmm. He helps Carolina. Does he help Carolina in the playoffs? Beat the Panthers again in an East final? Probably not. Mm-hmm. He just talked about how he wanted a change of scenery out of Winnipeg. You look at Besser re-signing in Vancouver is pretty significant because they thought they were going to have a huge hole to plug. Yeah. And suddenly they don't. Locally, you know, we have the connection of Patrick Kane signing in Detroit once again to stick with his old buddy Alex DeBrincat. And the other thing that jumped out at me, Rachel, was what in the world are the Boston Bruins doing? they signed a bunch of fum-dums, and they gave Tanner Janot a plug, a fourth-line plug, 5 years. I don't understand what the Boston Bruins were thinking at all here, other than, you know, was this the start of their Gavin McKenna tank? If you're picking the Atlantic Division right now, the Boston Bruins are way behind everybody. They're your number eight team.
They're even behind the Sabres?
Yeah, they're behind the Sabres for sure.
Sorry, but just we have to take the last 14 years into consideration here.
Yeah, the Sabres are not anywhere near the bottom of the Atlantic Division. The Boston Bruins certainly reside there. You know, it was free agency to me was a big bust. You know, you look at a lot of guys got traded. Marner, you know, how about Carolina gave Keandre Miller 8 years? Do they have scouts?
That is surprising. I mean, at least they got him out of New York, which
do they have scouts.
You know, it's documented in New York how just dysfunctional. The New York Rangers put the fun in dysfunctional last year from all the reporting and people going on the record for it as well. Maybe this was good for Keandre Miller just to get out of that situation as well. But yeah, they did overcommit to him. But again, with Ehlers, I think the Hurricanes, I'm getting real excited here. The Hurricanes, you know, I thought the Hurricanes did well, you know. I think the Ehlers signing put them back among the top in the Eastern Conference this league. You know, again, the rich get richer with Florida re-signing, you know, their big three, Sam Bennett, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Ekblad. The other team whose signings I like, they weren't overwhelming trades. Again, this was overwhelming deals. This was not an overwhelming free agency period. I like what Matthew Darche is doing in New York on Long Island. Yeah. You know, he didn't hesitate to start stalking players as opposed to going through with big splashes, which, you know, the New York Islanders did not have that position, but I really like that Matthew Darche kind of took the Tampa Bay Lightning approach as he used to, you know, be there, but he was assertive in his signings. I liked what the New York Islanders did as well
too. And he had the best draft.
Mm-hmm. You know, number one, of course, you have to.
He had the best draft at number one getting Schaefer, but how about at 16 and 17, you know, acquiring those picks in the Noah Dobson deal. You know, Noah Dobson, of course, ending up in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And he gets Kayshon Aitchison, one of the guys who certainly we had targeted for the Sabres, an aggressive, hard-hitting defenseman. A nice pickup there in the draft. So you're right. I like the Islanders. Free agency to me was just a big bust. I still, you know, I know Ehlers is a great target. Carolina spent $111 million on Keandre Miller and Nikolai Ehlers. That's why you don't bother with free agency. 8 years for Keandre Miller, I cannot get past. I just can't fathom it.
Well, we'll end the free agent discussion here on the last. The two teams I was kind of like, what are you doing? Los Angeles, they signed all these players who are at least 30, 31 years old. I mean, that's, let's be real. I mean, that's, you're toward the end of your shelf life, you know, in general, if you're over 30, 31, including Corey Perry, who's 40, he's the ageless wonder, but.
Well, they think they're going to be in the Stanley Cup final now. And lose.
I joke with someone, well, bet on the Kings to make the Stanley Cup final, but bet on them to lose. I mean, you know, Cody Ceci, 31, Brian Dumoulin, who's 30, here's how old I am too. I covered Brian Dumoulin when he was playing high school hockey in Biddeford, Maine, you know, and I'm like, but I think it's a testament he's still playing. You know, the other one, Anton Forsberg is 32, and I think they're totaling like, $44.7 million to pay for these guys as well, too. You know, it's not Los Angeles. They're hoping they can be Los Angeles this year as well.
You know, I think they had to replace Gavrikov after they lost him. And ultimately, you don't replace Gavrikov with Cody Ceci and Brian Dumoulin, but that's mm-hmm. what they were left to do.
No, and the other one, the other two that's probably the one signing, Vancouver. I mean, I get backing up the Brinks truck for Brock Besser, but they also invested in Thatcher Demko, who was limited to 23 games last season due to various injuries, you know, back, knee, lower body injury. I hope there's some good, you know, I hope they got a good policy with Lloyd's of London as well. This poor guy was just like fiberglass last season, and they're putting all this money into him as well, too.
They were kind of stuck. I mean, that's their guy, and they're just banking on a bounce back, and they're certainly, the bounce back is related to health, no question about it.
Yeah. You know, so we're going to do one more thing. We're starting to wind down on time here. We finished up coverage of the Sabres development camp this week out at Harbor Center. I thought it was just incredible to see Manon Rayom's son. What a great surprise, you know, coming to camp. I wrote about her yesterday. She's just this, or Sunday, I should say, you know, really a pioneer in women's hockey, the first woman to sign an NHL contract. And here's her son, a defenseman at Michigan, wasn't drafted, gets an invite to camp and says, I got to figure out how to start my pro career. You know, I didn't think that Dakota Rayo Mullen was ready to be drafted. He's still got to develop some of his offensive game. But I just thought, you know, okay, cool. This is this guy trying to figure out his own path. And he didn't have to do it, even though his mom, he didn't have to do it through the LA Kings because his mom works for the LA Kings. So avoided the nepotism card there as well, too. But who or what impressed you at development camp this week? Was it a player? Was there something that was said? Was it, you know, maybe, you know, certain play or something you saw out of these prospects as a whole, or, you know, in individuals?
Well, a couple things stand out. First of all, it's how huge Radim Mertke and Adam Kleber are, and how huge Tobias Lennon in the number two, the second round pick, goaltending pick from 2022, how huge he is too. So there were some big kids at that camp. We saw Mertke, you know, he's raw. He can skate. He'll be fine. I can't wait to see Mertke when he's 19 and 20. The most impressive player probably should have been, he was one of the oldest there, if not the oldest there, was Jake Richard, coming from Connecticut. Great skill. We've seen his body develop over these 4 years. We saw Connecticut ended up a goal away from the Frozen Four last year with him and Joey Meldowney, the local kid there, nearly getting to the Frozen Four, losing to Penn State, and they're trying to get back. So he was really impressive. He doesn't have an entry-level deal yet, so we have to see what the Sabres are going to do there. And the other thing, and at some point in the next few days, I'm going to be tackling this in the Buffalo News, I think. The goaltending situation is interesting to me. They drafted two goalies. They have a bunch of goalies in their system now. We know that Lennon and Scott Ratzliff are starting their pro careers this year. They drafted Ryerson Leanders, the kid from the OHL, last year, and they added a couple more goalies this year. They add Sammy Milosh. They add the Russian. Now, all of a sudden, they have prospects to watch. And I've been a believer for a long time. You should take a goalie every year because they take so long to develop. And behind Luukkonen and Lyon and Devin Levi, you now have this group to see what happens down the line here to develop some depth in goaltending and give you other options, because you just never know. You know, I compare it to baseball all the time. Goaltending is like relief pitching. No. You never know from year to year what you're going to have. Having more options in the organization is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought Jake Richard carried himself extremely well, you know, whether it was on the podium or on the ice. Similar, you know, Scott Ratzlaff, I felt the same, you know. And I was covering my first development camp. I learned a lot just about what the purpose of it is, how it's not just these on-ice drills or showing off your wrist shot or whatever, how it's almost, you know, there's so much off-ice as well, too, how it's almost for these players coming in, a combination of college orientation, job training. You know, Michael Leone even said, you know, we are watching these kids for how they behave in the locker room as well, too. Do they clean up their stalls? Do they pick up after themselves? You know, character was being observed as well, too. I thought that was a really important thing. The one thing I wish we could have gotten a little bit more, you know, kind of the peek back the curtain is, what do the players do when they're not on the ice? You know, a couple of the players told me that they had gone down to Orchard Park to meet with Brandon Bean, to have dinner at the team facility. You know, I would love to see a little bit of, you know, the Sabres put a little bit of that up on social media. Now, what's it like for them to walk into the Bills locker room? You know, a couple years ago, they did cooking classes. A lot of them said they were learning how to eat and how to work on recovery. You know, I really think this would have been a really good opportunity for the Sabres to, again, peel back the window a little bit or peel back the curtain and say, hey, you know, check out what these guys are doing during camp. I think it's a great promotional and great engagement opportunity as
patient.
Well.
Just be patient. You know that the 10 to 15 minute social media clip is coming in the wake of development camp. It's going to show you all that stuff. That's why it's generally limited to their eyes for that reason. I guarantee you that little feature piece is coming and you're going to see them at the stadium and different things. I guarantee it.
Listen, it was interesting. I'm looking at some of the other, you know, shorts from around the, you know, from around the NHL. You know, the Penguins did one where they took all their prospects to PNC Park, and why would you even watch the Pirates? But you know, they did that. They took them in the locker room, had them see Sidney Crosby. It was just little 1 to 2 minute clips that just catch someone's interest as well, you know, and maybe get someone interested in, you know, something about the sport. Well, we're starting to wind down on time. We have to, you know, we're going to end this up, but I want to end this just, I want to ask you, what do you think your prediction is going to be on what happens with Bo and Byram? Putting you on the spot here, Mike, to close this one out.
Oh, they're going to trade him. I don't expect to see Bo and Byram in training camp. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily, you know, watch, we'll turn this off and they'll trade him in an hour, but I don't necessarily expect it to see Bo and Byram get traded quickly. You know, they might trade him before the arbitration hearings run, you know, I think it's July 20th, August 4th. So we should see at some point in the next couple of weeks some resolution here. But no, I don't expect to see Bo and Byram in training camp. I don't think they're going to re-sign him for that year. I would consider it, but I think they already would have done that. So I do think the offer sheet situation being out helps them and they can get some resolution here. But yeah, I think we're down to the final 2 weeks and we'll see whether it's St. Louis or Calgary, two of which teams that have been heavily rumored, or somebody else. We'll get some resolution here for Bo and Byram.
All right. I'm Rachel Lindsay, cover the Buffalo Sabres from the Buffalo News. And that's Mike Harrington joining me on today's podcast. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for watching and for listening. If you want to find some of our work, you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Rachel M. Lindsay. Mike, where can they find you?
By M. Harrington. Always on Twitter. I never refer to it as X.
We'll call it Twitter just because everybody knows it. So, and you can find us at www.buffalonews.com. Thanks a lot. And again, keep an eye out on what's going to happen with Bo and Byram.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.